Okay, so this week we're going to read off some of our contestants for the literary contest we're having, or as I like to call it, give it to me in a page. So these are short writings, all a page or less, by various contributors, and we'll announce the winners. We'll read a few more next week, and we'll announce the winners the week following. But these are some of the finalists, and I'll announce the awards, the prizes again. First prize is 2 bus tickets from our corporate sponsor, Halifax Metro Transit, to anywhere you want to go in the metro area. So there's a ticket there and a ticket to get you home. Second prize is 1 bus ticket. You didn't actually win, so you have to find your own way home. And third prize, you can use my bicycle between the hours of 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. Sunday morning, or Monday evening between 11 p.m. and 12 a.m. So those are the prizes, and we'll get right to some of the entries after this. Okay, here's our first entry by Pat Stapleton down in the Pubnicos. Called Smoking in the Boys' Room. A dimly lit, quiet room slowly filled with smoke from 2 hand-rolled cigars. 2 good friends, Bernie and Peter, sat opposite one another in comfortable wing-back chairs. Bernie took the Cuban to his mouth, inhaled half, and blew it from his nostrils. The rest curled up between his lips. He puzzled over the ashes, hardened at the end of the end of his hand. Maybe it's time to transcend my primitive condition. Transcend was the word the woman at the furniture store had used. Transcend your living condition with an orange sofa, she offered. Did she really expect him to buy a family-sized couch for himself? How could she know that she was what he was really looking for? I've lost the feelings in my lips, Bern, Peter intervened. I might need them later, he joked further. Eh? Bernie responded, not listening. Wish I'd ordered a double espresso, Peter offered, sinking back into himself. Bernie caught up to his trail of thoughts. That's a large ashtray. I wish I had one at home. Home. How often had Bernie used that word without ever being in one? Home. He had never run away. It had simply left him. But this summer, Bernie was building a home for himself. He had been building other people's houses for years. This time he was his own man, hired and fired by his own hand. Wouldn't she make his house a home? Bernie felt proud of the houses he'd built. Proud, another word he puzzled over. Are you proud of yourself now? He could still hear his mother saying. His mother's use of proud hammered home his embarrassment. No matter how much he needed the privacy, it was never to lock the bathroom door again. The people in the house he had grown up with were crazy. Does this explain how a hard-working carpenter would be searching furniture stores for a bride? When he had only an apartment, he would go to laundromats looking for someone to help him with his laundry. Now that he would have a house, he wanted to meet that missing someone, to provide him with that missing something. Someone with his own washer and dryer, he wished. Someone who wasn't saving her quarters for laundry. Need a light, Bern? Peter offered. Bernie returned safely and attentively to the room. Huh? I suppose. A long smoke and a quiet afternoon. Talking was the short suit of the 2 good friends. The matchstick lit, then Bernie and Peter returned to the spaces between the smoke and the 2 comfortable chairs in the quiet, dim-lit room. Here's Patsy Cline, rolling some of her own. Okay, and now we've got an entry into the children's stories category, and this is by Bill White in Nutby Mountain, called Room Full of Empty Elephants. Not long ago, and not far away, there lived a house full of elephants. These were big elephants, and elephants can be very big. The house was small, but the elephants were happiest there. One day, the biggest elephant, and he was very big, noticed there was more room in the house than usual. Why, he could go from room to room without bumping into anybody. He could do his morning exercises without stretching around over anybody. This made him feel very uncomfortable, and he would swing his great trunk from side to side, not knowing what to do with it really, since there was no other elephant's tail for him to attach it to. His tail swung helplessly as well. No other elephant wrapped its trunk around his tail, no elephant to lead or to follow. Nothing seemed very much fun at all. He tried reading and eating and spraying himself with water. He tried vacuuming and ironing, but nothing seemed to help much at all. He was still uncomfortable and most miserable. What could be done about this most horrible problem of it all? In the stillness of the small house, empty of large elephants, he thought to himself, nothing at all, nothing at all. And here's Weird Al taking us home. And here we have another entry, this one by Pat Stapleton in Panamaca Shore. That's all he writes. And it's called Steaming Hot. Okay. Ray stood staring into the steaming hot dog cart, his thick hands resting delicately on his spongy hips. In his belly, which often provided him with misleading information, he felt a pain. He was trying to think. "How many can she hold?" he asked, leaning into the hot dog cart as Richard reached to lift the cover. "What?" "Hot dogs. How many can she hold?" 2 packages of 48. "Super dogs?" Ray questioned as he inhaled deeply. 2 dozen. "I try to please everybody and make no one happy. Nobody buy big dogs." Ray stepped back and returned to contemplating the thoughts that had made him answer the ad. Selling hot dogs on the weekend would be a great hobby. The fresh air the doctor recommended, meet new people, and make a little extra money. Hot dogs were like family. You couldn't trust them, but they were a lot of fun at a party. His concentrated look seemed more suited to a man on the 18th green than a construction worker in the parking lot out front of the community mall. He lifted his work boot and kicked one of the tires. $3,300 was a lot of money. He remembered his stomach and wished he'd eaten something before talking dollars with a stranger. It would be hard to talk Richard down in price if they shared a hot dog together. Why, then they would be like neighbors. His wife had warned against combining eating with business. "But the bun could be too moist or the dog too dry," Ray mused, keeping his thoughts tucked into his face. He lifted his head quickly and stared into Richard's eyebrows. He was preparing himself to offer $2,700. A cavernous rumble echoed beneath the shirt tail he tucked in to be taken seriously. His appetite had thrown the white flag. You try, you like you buy. She make you lots of money. Ray attempted to pull the reins in on his stomach by tightening. This made him more aware of his hunger. How about a super dog? Don't want to put you out of business. Well, that's it for this evening. For tonight's contest and the ones we've been reading in our literary contest, and we'll see you next time. And reminding you to not to forget to take your transfer when you get on the bus. So this is reminding you to also reminding you to party till the lights come on. This is 486.